There's a very well-known pasuk that you are undoubtedly familiar with. In Perek Hafei, pasuk Ches, the Torah says, "Ba'asu li migdash, b'shachanti b'socha." The obligation to construct a migdash in order that the Shechina should take root, that Hashem's presence should be felt in the Makom HaMikdash. And then, subsequently, the Torah goes on to describe the Klei HaMishkan. In Pasuk Yud, you have the Yasu Aron HaSeishitim, the Aron is mentioned, together with the Badi HaAron, the staves of the Aron, and the rings of the Aron. Subsequently, in Pasuk Yud Zayin, the Kapores, and then we have the Shulchan in Pasuk Chav Gimel, and then we have the menorah in Pasuk Lamed Aleph, and all of its various accoutrements. And then the overall structure of the Mishkan is described in Perek Chavav, including the Yirios, the Kroshim, and more or less that takes us to the end of the Parsha, where we have in Perek Chav Zayin the description of the Mizbeach. So essentially, the Parsha Truma is devoted to the Klei HaMishkan. As you know, the Parsha Tetzaveh is focused on Bigdei Kehuna. Thank you very, very much. Thank you, Shabbat. The Parsha Tetzaveh is focused on the Bigdei Kehuna and also the investiture of Aaron HaKohen, when he was inducted into the Kehuna, and then the different Begadim that are worn by the Kohanim. On this Pasuk, V'yasul di Migdash v'shachandi b'socham, there's a very famous machlokes, the Rambam and the Ramban. I'll just begin with that. The Rambam, you don't have in front of you, but the Rambam is found in the beginning of Hilchos Beis Sabchira. I'll read you the language of the Rambam. He says, Mitzvah say la'asos bayis Hashem. There's a mitzvah to construct a house for Hashem. Muchan lios makrivim bar karbonos. What's the function of the Beis Hamikdash? It's a makom where karbonos can be offered. And 3 times a year, thrice a year, annual pilgrimage, Jews come to Yerushalayim. The Rambam quotes the pasuk here in the Parsha of Truma. So the Rambam clearly saw the Makom HaMikdash as being a means for Hakrovas and Karbonos. Similarly, the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos, in Mitzvah Chaf, when the Rambam defines what the function of the Mikdash is, he writes, "Hi shetzivonu Libnos Beis Abchira La'agoda Bo Yiyah HaKrova V'Havaras HaEish Tamid." There we're going to offer up karbonos and there'll be an ongoing fire. V'Elav Tiyah HaLicha V'Aliyah L'Regel V'Akibus V'Chol Shana, and there Jews will gather annually. Bu Amar Yisbarach, what's the makar? V'Asul Yimigdash V'Shachat V'Shachat. So it's very striking that the Rambam, when he defines the pasuk that we began with, Basul Yimigdash, understands the pasuk as referring to a mitzvah to construct a bayis, but for what purpose? Primarily, preeminently, karbonos, and for the purpose of aliyah l'regel. The Ramban in Truma, in a very famous passage, the beginning of Parshas Truma, the Ramban is cholek on the Rambam, and to be quite honest, it would seem to be from the context of the psukim themselves that the position of the Rabban seems to be very much in sync with the Pasuk. Because if you read the Pasuk, what does the Torah tell you? What is the function of the Mikdash? Vasul the Mikdash? Shachad b'Socha. The Torah tells us the function of the Mikdash is a makom for Hashuas HaShechina. A makom where the Shechina will take root. And the Ramban, at great length, in the beginning of Truma, this is a very significant Ramban, and I would have examined this Ramban, but there's not sufficient time. I'll just read one section of the Ramban. Ramban writes the following language. It's an introduction to the Ramban in Truma. You have it here on page Reis Samach Zayin, where it says, "Besod HaMishkan." Svek HaBracha. Baruch Ato Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Shehakol Nieh B'Dvarav.
Amen.
Besod HaMishkan, Ramban says the secret of the Mishkan, who? Sheyeh HaKavod HaSheshochan HaHar Sinai Shochin Olam B'Nistar. Ramban Shita, which he repeats many, many times throughout his Perush Al Torah, is that Mishkan equals Har Sinai. That's the formula of the Ramban. The Mishkan essentially was designed to maintain the experience that we had in Har Sinai. The Har Sinai experience was of a limited nature, and once the shofar was blown, the Torah says, "Bimshoch Hayovel Heima Yalu Bahar." At that point, it was over. Ramban says, "No, it was not over." The Torah enjoins us to maintain and continue that experience. How? Through what venue?
Mishkan.
The venue of the Mishkan. Mishkan equals Har Sinai. And the Ramban brings many interesting parallels. Kumoshi Ne'emar Sham, he quotes Psukim. If you had a Chumash in front of you, you could actually see the analogies the Ramban draws between Mishkan and Sinai. Just like over there, it says, Vayishkan for Hashem al Har Sinai, that the Shechina dwelled in Har Sinai. And so too, by the Mishkan, at the end of Sefer Shmos, the Torah says, "Uchvod Hashem Molei Yisah Mishkan." The Shechina hovered over the Mishkan. And the Ramban brings many psukim. I'm not going to go through all the psukim that the Ramban shows definitively that the idea of Mishkan is clearly associated with Har Sinai experience, and primarily, what aspect of it? Hashuas Hashchina. I'll read you another part of the Ramban, also here at the beginning of Truma. He writes, "V'inehem kedoshim, Klal Yisrael ar kadosh, ruim she'iyeh lo bayis b'socham b'kudosh l'shmo." They should have a house that is dedicated to Hashem Yisbarach. "V'shom yedaber Moshe," there Hashem speaks with Moshe, "v'yitzav es b'nei Yisrael, v'inei ikar hachevetz hu b'mishkan, mokom minuchas hashchinah." According to the Ramban, what is the most significant kli in the Mishkan? The answer is the Aron HaKodesh. Why? Ramban quotes the pasuk here. Moshe Omar benoarati l'chasham b'dibarti itchom el hakaporis. The Aron is considered to be numero uno, number one of all the kli Mishkan. By the way, the seder of the kli Mishkan that's found here, which kli is mentioned first? The Aron HaKodesh. Obviously, it's the most important one according to Ramban. And the reason is because the Aron HaKodesh is, in effect, the area where Moshe Rabbeinu, as it were, communicates with Hashem Yisbarach. And the same Ramban I also found in Parshas Ekev. If you look at Ekev, in Perek Yud, Pasuk Aleph, and Dvarim, Ramban says also, "V'hoisa mitzvah rishona," what's the first mitzvah? "V'asur Aron HaTzeshitim, kihi ikra kabana b'chol HaMishkan, lios Hashem Yoshev HaKruvim." That Hashem is the one who dwells in the Mishkan, and therefore the Aron is the preeminent kli of the Mishkan. So according to the Ramban, and he writes this also in Pekudei, many times the Ramban repeats this idea that Mishkan equals Har Sinai, and therefore according to the Ramban, the primary function of the Mishkan was a makom for, not HaKravas HaKabonos, or HaLil HaRegel, but rather a makom for HaShuas HaShina. That's the preeminent purpose of the Beis HaMikdash. We have a fundamental machlokes, the Rambam and the Ramban, relating to the major purpose of the Beis HaMikdash. This machlokes has other ramifications. Just to share with you one, the Rambam, again in Sefer HaMitzvos, the Mitzvah Chof, that I referred to a moment ago when the Rambam speaks about HaKadosh HaKabonos as being the very epicenter of the Mishkan, the Rambam there writes something else as well. If I were to ask you, when the Torah says "Va'asuli Migdash v'shachadi b'socha," the mitzvah you would tell me offhand is to construct the Mishkan, to construct the Migdash. What's included in this mitzvah? What I'm asking specifically about the construction of the Klei HaMishkan, is that also encompassed by this pasuk? Is that also subsumed under this pasuk? "Va'asuli Migdash v'shachadi b'socha." What would you say offhand? Yes, yeah. Or no?
No.
Why no, since you are saying no?
There's no allusion to the word Shechina in this passage.
That is correct. What I'm asking is, according to the machlokes that we just saw, it's in the Rambam and the Ramban. That's really what I'm asking.
Oh, because the Rambam just mentions Karbonos.
The Rambam speaks about Karbonos. However, I want to read you the language of the Rambam. The Rambam says, in Sefer Mitzvahs, in Mitzvah Chof, "Hinei Yisboyer, it's a separate mitzvah, as you indicate. However, the Rambam goes on to say, there are other elements apparently that are included in this mitzvah of Binyan HaMikdash. That include what? Sheim HaMenorah, Vashulchan, Vamizbeach, Kula Mechelki HaMikdash. V'akol yikare migdash. The Rambam says it here in Sefer Mitzvahs. Also, he writes in one other place I saw in Beis Abchira, and the Rambam says v'osin b'migdash kelim. Mashka for the Rambam that part of the mitzvah of building the migdash is also to construct the kelim. Now the Rambam does not have the klei migdash as a separate mitzvah, but rather, according to the Rambam, the constructing of the klei migdash is considered to be an integral part of what mitzvah of osin b'migdash or shachani b'socha. And the reason why I say that, because the Rambam seems to be l'shitaso. Since according to the Rambam, what's the function of the Mikdash? Akoros HaKorbanos. And therefore, the Rambam felt that the Klei HaMikdash, or the Klei HaMishkan, are also requisite, are necessary, in order to achieve this end, the end of Akoros HaKorbanos. The Ramban, on the other hand, in Mitzvah Lamed Gimel, does not count the construction of the Kelim as a separate mitzvah. But his reasoning is not like the Rambam, that the Kelim are a chelik of the Mikdash. The Rambam says, the Kelim are only, he writes, a hechsher for the mitzvah of Avoda. What do you mean by a hechsher? It's only a condition, a precondition in order to do the Avoda. You need Klei HaMishkan. He writes over here, I'll read you his language. We're not going to count the construction of the Kelim as a separate mitzvah. We have to have lechem upon him. That where do we have to put the lechem upon him? On the shulchan. And many halachas related to halachas aner. I don't agree with the Rambam, who said that these are considered to be chalokim mechelki amidosh. They're not considered to be part of the Mikdash of Asul the Mikdash. Aval Eilu Heim Shtei Mitzvahs Veinu Makva Zuh Azuh Umakribim Bebayis Abbi Shei Bo Kelim Eilu. I'm only mentioning this Derech Agav, but one sees here again that the fundamental Machlok is the Ram Ramban, what the major purpose of the Mikdash is. Is it purely for Hashuah Sashchina, as the Pasuk seems to say, Vassal the Mikdash Shachani B'socha, or, according to the Rambam, its function is as a means to an end, namely Hakrovas Hakrovas. Yeah.
I don't need the Ramban or the Rambam mentioning the Ar Hakodesh in those descriptions.
That is true, but as I said, the Ramban here in his Parashat HaTorah,
the Ramban is an integral part of
the Ramban considers the Aron to be the, shall we say, Kli par excellence.
Exactly.
The very essence of the Mikdash revolves around the Ar Hakodesh, according to the Ramban. And the Rambam also has mentioned of the Aron HaKodesh in a different context, actually, because he speaks about the fact that the Luchos were, as you know, in Bayis Sheni, were essentially Nignaz. But there was already, on the part of Shlomo HaMelech, he saw that the Churban was going to take place, and he already prepared a place for the Luchos to be Nignaz. The Rambam speaks about this in the Mishnah Torah. But you're right, directly, it's not spelled out by the Rambam in the context of this particular mitzvah.
I mean, the Ramban a little bit. The Ramban said that the Aron specifically was exactly where the Shekhinah was.
Because of the pasuk, it's based on pasukim. But though added to the chashon, the ibati ifcha ve'al kaparos.
That the Kelim actually are like, part.
But as I said, reading the text of the Rambam indicates not like that. And the reason, as I said, in the Shitas, both the Shitas of Rambam and Ramban make sense, again, as I said, in light of their understanding of what the major functions of the Mikdash was. But okay, that needs more spelling out. But this is, which is by way of Hakdama to the issue I want to talk about. I'm not discussing so much now the Halacha, but I want to discuss more the Hashkafa behind the Mishkan and the Mikdash. And first, I just want to mention a diuk that the Arachayim HaKadosh and other Rishonim have right here on the first Pasuk in Truma. There's something wrong with the first pasuk, but you right away should certainly feel and be magish. The pasuk says, "Dabel b'nei Yisrael, b'yikhu li truma." What is wrong with that pasuk? What should it have said? Correct. B'yikhu li truma. What's b'yikhu li truma? Every single rishon is bothered by this kasha. Just the language is just so obviously difficult. It's amazing. A bit later, the Torah says, which means if your heart doesn't impel you to give, you should not give. And by the way, from here, take a look at the Tanya of Menuziel. He points out right away that coercion should not be used to obtain this truma. It has to be nidvas alev. Meis kolisha sheyedvenu libo. Everyone has to feel the urge to go ahead and give to the Mishkan. The problem, of course, with this is against the Gemara in Bava Basra, and that's why I wanted to ask you, which Gemara am I referring to? What is the din regarding tzedakah? Does Bezin have the right to go ahead and compel someone to give tzedakah? They certainly do. The Gemara says a number of times in Shas, min mashkinin al tzedakah. They could actually force you to give tzedakah. So, if that's the case, how do you distinguish between the Mishkan and the mitzvah tzedakah? And the answer is, should be rather evident and obvious what the distinction between these two mitzvahs is. When it comes to the mitzvah of building a Mishkan, Torah says, Meis kolisha sheyed venu libo. However, when it comes to the mitzvah tzedakah, there we say, Memashkin al tzedakah, it's also in the Gemara, the first paragraph of Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara says that, V'asisa melameh, that Bezin can go ahead and force you to give tzedakah. So what's the distinction? Yeah? What do you mean by that? Masha'enken, you're saying regarding the mitzvah of tzedakah, Mishkan, which is Be'al Mamakom.
You should see that from the Rambam, it's all our cuts and
okay, that might be a distinction, or perhaps one might be mechalek between a. The truth is that the Mishkan also has an element of tzedakah to it, I would say. Building the Mishkan is probably, in some respects, connected to the mitzvah tzedakah. But as you know, there are two separate mitzvahs, really. That is to say, there's a chovas yochid, which certainly tzedakah is. Tzedakah is an obligation that devolves upon the individual. And that's why, certainly, Bezin has the right to go ahead and coerce someone to give tzedakah. Mashenk in the Mishkan is probably a chovas tzibur, an obligation that devolves upon Klal Yisrael as a community, and therefore perhaps the Torah stresses here, they dafka one, me'ez kolisha sheyidvenu libo, tichu esru masi. Whatever the case is, I just want to mention what I believe is a very fundamental hashkafa regarding the Mishkan, and that's what I want to talk about over here. There is a pasuk in Tanakh, which you are probably familiar with, Melach HaMelech Ferches. If you remember when Shlomo HaMelech built the Mikdash, David Tzvi. When Shlomo HaMelech built the Mikdash, there's a major problem that's already built in to the building of the Mishkan, and that is Shlomo HaMelech asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hinei HaShamayim U'Shmei HaShamayim Lo Yichal Kaducha. How is it possible for Ribbono Shel Olam to somehow ask us to build a Mishkan and to take an infinite being and somehow be mitzamtzamed into a finite space? That's a philosophic impossibility. It's a kasha that the Medrash raises, but actually Shlomo HaMelech raises it in the pasuk in Tanakh. And what is the answer to that question? It's an impossible question to answer. I heard from the Rav Zochem Lebracha that there's no answer to that question. How the infinite could fit into a finite space? It's impossible to answer that question.
What's the next
question? No. You take a look in the Pasuk in Tanakh, you see there was no answer given to the question. But in reality, the so-called Beis Hashem, which is the Mishkan, is really the home of man. And Ribbono Shel Olam does not need any home. He is not among the homeless. There's a Hebrew word called homeless. Hey, Vav, Mem, Lamed, Yud, Samach. They think it's a Hebrew word. It's amazing. It's astounding. Homeless. And Ribbono Shel Olam is not homeless because Ribbono Shel Olam obviously needs no home. And the Medrash says that Kav Yochol Tzimtzim Etzatzmo, somehow the Ribbono Shel Olam moved from infinity to finitude, and somehow this small house serves as a makom for Ashras Hashchina. We don't understand how. We don't understand exactly how Tzimtzum works either, but that's a lashon of the Medrash. And what I want to mention in this respect is something which I think is, as I said before, very fundamental and very basic in our Hashkafa. And that is that, as you know, and this is actually also a lengthy medrash, which I actually did not Xerox completely, but I should have. The medrash actually writes at one point, I xeroxed a number of pages of Midrashim, but I don't recall if I xeroxed this particular medrash. There's a medrash that writes that initially, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he created the world, so he created the world that Iker Shechina B'Tachtonim. The Shechina, of course, is where? Is in this world. And then what happened, if you recall, the Shechina was in Gan Eden. And now we have many psukim that indicate this, that the Shechina was rooted in Gan Eden. And then as a result of different chatoyim that took place, primarily the Chet Adam HaRishon, so what happened? The Shechina left. If you remember, there's a pasuk in Sefer Bereishis, I assume you're probably familiar with that pasuk, that indicates that the Shechina left Gan Eden. What pasuk am I referring to? Vayishmu es kol Hashem Elokim mishalech bagan l'ruach hayom vayishchaveh ha'adam v'yishto v'nei Hashem Elokim v'toch etz hagan. I don't have the exact medrash, but the medrash writes in that pasuk that basically HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even initially the world was created that Iker Shechina b'tachtonim, as a result of the Chel HaKadmon, as it's known, the primordial sin, so Hashem Yisbarach was driven out. And the Shechina departed to infinity, to transcendence. The Shechina left. And now, what is the purpose of the Mishkan? To once again restore that relationship. In some respects, Mishkan equals Har Sinai, but again, the reason why the purpose was not achieved was because of the Chet HaEgel. That's how the Chachmei HaKabbalah, the Chachmei HaChassidus interpret it. But the fact of the matter is that the Kedusha of Hashem Yisbarach resides in the Mishkan. But if one wants to ask, what is exactly the intention of the Ramban, when the Ramban says Mishkan equals Har Sinai, what does that mean? So I would like to explain it both from a halachic standpoint as well as from a philosophic standpoint. Halachically means the following. As you know, Har Sinai, the Torah describes Har Sinai how? That it was demarcated. What do I mean by that? It was delineated into several areas, several sectors. What were the sectors, if you recall? Machane Shechina, Machane Levia, and Machane Yisrael. You know what I'm referring to? Rashi quotes from Chazal. But even if you look at the Psukim, you see that very clearly. If you remember carefully, what does Moshe Rabbeinu again and again enjoin Klal Yisrael from doing? And Hashem tells him, warn them again, and warn them a second time, and a third time. What does Hashem tell them? If you have a Chumash, you can see it in Perek Yutes, starting with Pasuk Yud. Perek Yutes Yud, which is in Yisrael, the Torah said the following, Vayomer Hashem Moshe, Lech al ha'om v'kidashtem ha'yom v'mocha v'chisuv simbosom, v'ayum nechonim al yom ha'shlishi, ki v'ayom ha'shlishi yered Hashem leinu kolom al har Sinai. V'higbalto esom sabib leimo. What does it mean, v'higbalto? To make a gvul. What does a gvul mean? It should be demarcated, delineated. What does that mean, delineated? So as Rashi comments, kvalohem tchumim l'simon, that everyone should know where they're allowed to go. Namely, hishamu lachem alos b'har and go'ab b'kotzeel, kolano gi'a b'har mos yumas. Lo siga b'o yod, ki sakol yisakel, o yaro yireh, im behema imish lo yichye, bimshoch hayom v'lehema yalu b'har. So clearly, the mount is supposed to be delineated, as again, I mentioned a moment ago, into three sectors. Machane Shechina, Machane Levia, Machane Yisrael. The Torah goes on to say, a bit later, in Pasuk Chaf Aleph, after Pasuk Chaf, when the Shechina comes down, Vayom Hashem HaMoshe Reid HaEbam, warn the people, Pen Yersu Hashem Liros, V'Nafal Mimenu Rab. Again, the story is that the fear is they're going to trespass, they're going to penetrate or go beyond an area where they're not permitted to do, and therefore Moshe has to warn them. The Gam HaKohanim HaNigashim Al Hashem Yisgadoshu Pen Yifrots V'Hem Hashem. So what did Moshe Rabbeinu say to Hashem in Chaf Gimel? Vayom Moshe Hashem Lo Yuchal Ha'am La'alos Al Har Sinai. They can't go beyond a certain point. Ki Ato Ha'idos Avad Olemar. You told them Ha'gvelos Ha'am Kidashto, and it should be delineated. So what does Hashem say? Lech Rei V'yodi Sa'at V'aron Nimach V'akonim V'am Al Yersu La'alos Al Hashem Pen Yifrots V'am. Again, the warning is repeated. So Rashi, their comments on Pasuk Abdalit, Rashi says, V'yolisa ato v'aron imach v'akohanim. So Rashi says, ato mechitza l'atzmacha, aron mechitza l'atzmo, kohanim mechitza l'atzmam. And those, they were essentially different areas that were delineated, and this is called in halacha, kiddushas mechitzas. Which other enterprise also has Kedushas Mechitzas besides Har Sinai? The answer is Mishkan. Mishkan is exactly the same Kedushas Mechitzas. Machan Ishchina, Machan Rumiyah, Machan Yisrael. You know the area which of course is here in Eretz Yisrael, the Har Abayis, also in a similar kind of fashion, the Azara, the Har Abayis. There are different areas that are delineated with different sets of halachas that apply to each one. So when the Ramban says Mishkan equals Har Sinai, he means that from a halachic standpoint, no question about it. However, the Ramban clearly has another philosophic idea in mind, which I think is much more fundamental than the halachic one. The halachic one is obviously the framework for the philosophic, hashkafic understanding. And that is, the most important principle for a Jew, when we speak about Kedusha, is respect for a boundary line. Self-discipline. That is the definition of Kedusha. Some people think that Kedusha means that I develop wings like a seraph. And I begin to, shall we say, float in the ambience, in the stratosphere. Like, what was that fellow's name? Bahadil? Ica something.
Icarus.
Correct. The so-called Greek god. What god exactly was he involved in?
Not very good.
Undoubtedly. But that is not what Kedusha is all about. People have a tendency to think that Kedusha means where I can actually soar and escape the Earth's gravitational pull. For those who've read Rav Soloveitchik, classic piece, classic essay, Ish Ha'alacha. Are you familiar with that? I hope so. If you're not, there's a question of your Jewishness. I'm just joking. It might take me literally, but I want to be taken literally. I'm not joking. There he talks about the Ish Ha'alacha who has to be grounded, as opposed to the mystic, the Ish. The Rav speaks about the Ish Hadat, who somehow wants to escape the Earth's gravitational pull. That's not what we're all about. We want to go ahead and introduce Kedusha in this world. Anyway, the idea of Kedusha is not a seraph flying about, but rather respect for a boundary line. As you know, a beast, an animal, can only be stopped from trespassing by a physical barrier. For a human being, there's no need for a physical barrier. For a human being, a sign is enough, because a human being operates with seichel, with intellect, and therefore, that's exactly the definition of Kedusha. And what the Torah is telling us here is this is exactly what Kedusha's Mechitzas is all about philosophically. Halachically, we know what it is. But philosophically, Kedusha's Mechitzas means respect for a boundary line. There's a striking medrash that I'm very fond of. The medrash has a conversation between Adrianus Caesar, a Roman Caesar, and Rabbeinu ben Hananya, based on the Pasuk Koheles. They somehow were familiar with Pesukim and Tanakh as well. Pasuk says in Koheles, he told the Kelev Achai, Me'ari Ames, a living dog is better than a dead lion. So he, Adrianus, the Roman Caesar, says to Rabbeinu ben Hananya, in Cain, if that's the case, I, a living dog, am superior to Moshe Rabbeinu, who is obviously a dead lion. Moshe Rabbeinu may be a lion, but he's dead. And I may be a dog, but I'm living. That's when the Medrash has this conversation. And so, the Medrash goes on to say that Rabbeinu ben Hananya tells him that he should issue a proclamation, an announcement, that within a 3-day period, no one should light a fire in the city of Rome, and whoever violates this proclamation will be executed. And after the third day, or on the third day, they go up on the roof of the palace, and they see smoke curling up from all over the place. From every single household, from every chimney, there's smoke coming forth. So, Rabbi Shimon Hananya says to the Roman Caesar, you may be a living dog, but obviously, all your edicts and all your proclamations are essentially ala itzim v'ala avonim. They're not being carried out. Moshe Rabbeinu said, Lo sevaru eish b'chol moshel sechem yom ha-Shabbos, the Parsha Vayakel, that a Jew cannot light a fire on Shabbos, and you will not find a flame for miles and miles and miles. Very fascinating medrash. There's a famous story I think they tell over about Avlev Yitzhak Berditcher. You've heard of him? The great Hasidic sage who was very much into being Malamit Zchus and Klal Yisrael. So he also was always looking for Limud Zchus to justify and to defend Klal Yisrael. And so once I think it was during Pesach. He spoke to two different groups of chassidim, and he told one group of chassidim they should look for Turkish shawls that were not available in his particular part of the world. And in order for that to be available, you would have to smuggle it in. It would have to be smuggled goods. And he told another group of chassidim to look for a freshly baked loaf of bread on Pesach. One group went out, and the second group went out. The group went out, they looked for a freshly baked loaf of bread. They couldn't find anything. Nothing. For miles and miles and miles. The second group came back with hundreds and hundreds of smuggled Turkish shawls from every nook and cranny they're able to find it. And again, he said to Rebbeinu Shlomo, look at Klal Yisrael. You issue an edict against having chametz in our houses on Pesach, Bal Yirol, Bal Yimatzeh, you will not find a piece of chametz anywhere. But regarding smuggled Turkish shawls, which are illegal, and against the wish of the government, Baruch Hashem, no shortage of smuggled Turkish shawls anywhere you look. I know the point is that we don't need coercion or police to observe our dinim of mishpatim. We just simply need one word in the Ramah, or one word in the Mechaber, a boundary line that's set down for us, and automatically that engenders Kedusha. As a matter of fact, Chazal speak about it in the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, Vasu Siog La Torah, literally translated, surround the Torah with what? A Siog. What is a Siog? An abstract kind of boundary line. Chazal commented, Shir HaShirim, unbelievable passage in Shir HaShirim, Bitna Arim Aschitim Suga Bashoshanim. Here we're talking about a bed of roses. It's not a gader, but a husband and wife in their interaction with each other, she sees one drop of red, and right away, Suga Vashoshana. Right away, there's a separation that's imposed between the husband and wife of a voluntary nature, obviously. Again, a Jew observes Shabbos, it's like a bed of roses. If one desecrates the Shabbos, it's as if one would trample on a bed of roses. And the Medrash, as I said, describes this, and the Torah really describes it in Sukkim relating to the Mishkan. The Mishkan halachically is Kedusha's Mechitzis, but philosophically, Kedusha means respect for a boundary line. This idea, by the way, is found in the Ramban, the beginning of Kedusha. The Torah says, Kedoshim Tiyu. You undoubtedly remember that pasuk. So Rashi learns that Kedoshim Tiyu refers to what? Prushim in Arayos. How does Rashi know that it relates to forbidden relationships? Because of the juxtaposition of Kedoshim to the previous parasha, Nacharemos, which has a list of Arayos, forbidden relationships. But the Ramban has a very beautiful and absolutely wondrous explanation, which is fits with what we are talking about now. How does the Ramban understand the pasuk Kedoshim to you? Ramban says that that pasuk refers to the idea of Kadesh Atzmecha Bemutalach, that we have to sanctify ourselves even in areas that are permissible. And if one does not do so, the Ramban says they are called Navo B'Shus HaTeira. How shall I translate that? A scoundrel with divine imprimatur. Is that a good translation? And the Ramban goes on to explain what it means is the following. He says that there are certain areas that we are obviously permitted to engage in, such as talking. We're not speaking about Lashon Hara, Rechilas, Mazeh Shema, that's Asa. We're allowed to eat. Of course, we're not talking about Machol Sasuras. We're talking about food that's permissible to be eaten. And the Ramban says we're allowed to go ahead and engage in other activities that are permissible, but what the Torah wants us to do is to, shall we say, discipline ourselves. Not speak excessively. We're not talking about speaking Dvarim Asurim, Lashon Hara. Or as I said, Motzi Shemra, Rechilas, that's awesome. That's not permissible. That's not what the Torah says, Kedoshim Tiyu. Where's the Torah telling us Kedoshim Tiyu? Even in the areas which are permissible. And the Ramban goes on to explain what this means. The Kadesh Atzmo, that one should sanctify himself. How? By being shomer people to shono may hisgoel, from speaking excessively. He refers to a Gemara. The Gemara says, Abchia lo sach sicha betela miyamav. He never said in his life sicha betela. What does sicha betela mean? Wasting words. What I do all the time. I shouldn't, but I do. I'm not to say that. You meet someone, when two Israelis meet each other, What's the first thing they say to each other? Manishma. And from Manishma, where do we go? We go on our merry way. I was on the plane not long ago, sitting next to two Israelis. Also sat next to a whole bunch of galochim, priests. He knew the Bible inside out. The James, King James Version. Anyway, one of them was quoting Job. He kept quoting Job. Of course, I told him, I didn't want to tell him, but I did tell him at the end, we pronounce it Job, as opposed to Job. but as it is, he knew it far better than I did, trust me. But Sicha Betela is something which Chazal say is not a good thing, even though you didn't speak Lashon Hara, no Bechilas, no Matzah Shemra. Another example. Ramban says that people who decide to go ahead and, shall we say, eat like a fullback. What do they call that? They go to doggies. You know doggies? And fresh like a fullback. Years ago they used to have these 10 pounders. I don't know if they still do. Probably by now they're 20 pounds. What? And somehow people feel the need to go ahead and just... Yes, I'm talking about what's it?
Papagayos.
Is that what they call papagayos? Anyway, the Ramban is not happy about this. He calls this achila gasa, person who eats excessively. And all this, the Ramban says, is included under what pasuk? Kedoshim tiyus. Even though you're not violating any isur, the guy has a good steak, or has five steaks. I was once, a number of years ago, I met the fellow. He wanted to talk to me. And so he said to me, we'll meet at the pizza shop. So we went at the pizza shop, and he ordered a pizza. I assumed that the other pashtun he was going to say hamotzi, it was an entire pizza, a rather large one. He proceeded to say, barbe mizonos. He then ate 12 slices of pizza, right in front of me. 12 slices, one after the next, in the course of the 2-3 hour conversation. And then I was so astounded, I couldn't even... really, I was not even able to express myself, which usually is not a problem for me. And I said to him, why did you not make hamotzi on this pizza? He said, Rabbi, it was but a snack. I thought it was achila gasa classic, but in order to show me that it was only a snack, he then ordered 3 pieces of apple pie, besides that. And then he had 2 knishes. And this is what he called a snack. I thought this was Pasap of a Kistin, Kobe Asuda, from every standpoint. And I had actually 1 slice of pizza, and I washed on that 1 slice of pizza. That was my lunch. Whatever the case is, the Ramban says, this is included in Kedusha to you. Kedusha means self-discipline. And one who cannot discipline oneself in areas that are permissible. We're not talking about one who's engaged in Machos Asuros. Or one Rachman Litzan who is speaking Dvarim Asurim. We're talking about Dvarim Hamutarim and Ochel Atzmutar. But one has to discipline oneself, and that's how one achieves the concept of Kedusha. So now coming back to this Ramban, Mishkan equals Har Sinai. Ramban is telling you that if one wants to achieve Kedusha, the way to do it is not by, shall I say, developing wings and flying like a seraph in the stratosphere. But rather, Kedusha means self-discipline in these particular areas. In the area of Achila, and Shtia, and Dibur, and that's how the Kedusha of Mikdash is based on. It's based on Kedushas Mechitzos, self-discipline, respect for boundary line. That's how a person achieves very, very high madrigals in Kedusha. And this is the definition of Kedusha, and what's very fascinating, you probably are aware that in Halacha, we have an area of Halacha which is a very fascinating area. The whole area that deals with Erevin, there are many, many fascinating Halachas with Erevin, good Asik Mechitzos, good Achis Mechitzos, and they're all imaginary Mechitzos. It's so amazing that you can build a Tzuras HaPesach, which I assume you know what that is. Konamikan, Konal Gabem, that's called the Tzuras HaPesach. And somehow now we have a door in front of us. Even though there is no door, it's an imaginary door. All mechitzas are imaginary. They are, what do you call them? Virtual mechitzas that you're familiar with. People who live in the virtual world, as you do. I have a lot to say about that, but I can't do that. But all the dinim of Erevin that relate to Lavud and Pi Tikra Erev Besaisim, all of Masechas Erevin, and half Masechas Sukkah, and half Masechas Shabbos, and a few other Masechas along the way. We're talking about virtual Mechitzas. They're not real, they're imaginary. They are essentially, as I said, not physical bounds. And that's why I believe that Moshe Rabbeinu, when Hashem tells him again and again, demarcate Har Sinai, remind the people they cannot trespass. What does Moshe Rabbeinu say? Lo yuchal ha'am la'alos el Har Sinai. So the word lo yuchal can have two translations. Lo yuchal can be translated as they cannot. Why can they not? They cannot go up Har Sinai. Ki atah ha'idosa bada le'mar ha'gbel ha'sa'avi kidashto. What does that mean? It means for a Jew, once he receives a Tzivi Hashem, he simply cannot violate the Tzivi Hashem. That's the simple pshat of the pasuk. The other pshat is lo yuchal ha'am la'alos, that I cannot ascend because, shall we say, there are boundaries, there are physical boundaries, there are machitzas. That's not the case. There are no physical boundaries. But Hashem is Barach, has, shall we say, legislated, and therefore I cannot violate His legislation. For example, is it possible for me in the morning to eat breakfast before I put on tefillin? It's impossible. Why? Because I have a shul aruch that tells me, l'soich la'adam, I can't eat before I daven. The lashon of the medrash is, v'chi nachash neishchei, have I been, rachman l'tzlan, bitten by a snake? V'chi akra b'obtzo, have I been stung by a scorpion? No. There is a sensitivity which a Jew develops based on this striving for Kedusha, to self-discipline, which in effect is responsible for my not being able to do an Avera. I had a conversation with Adam and Saul a number of years ago, and Adam and Saul, in the course of talking to me, he says to me that how is it possible for someone to do an Avera? I said, what? I said, it's not difficult at all. It's quite simple. I see in front of me, shall we say, a nice piece of luscious, what food do you happen to like that's not kosher? Hope none. But, whatever, some luscious strawberry shortcake. It happens that have not have hashgacha. So I say to myself, what could be trade for that strawberry shortcake? There's a few strawberries, some flour. What else could they put in there? What's the problem? Why does it need hashgacha? Doesn't even need hashgacha. And it's only a little strawberry shortcake. No, let me have it. After I eat it, I say to myself, wow, that's pretty good. Let me have another one. But of course, I realize that I'm going to have to make a bracha achrona, obviously. Who doesn't make a bracha achrona? A piece of strawberry shortcake, two pieces of strawberry shortcake, three pieces. So why did it have hashgacha? Big deal. It tasted good. I went to a bar mitzvah last night. Someone told me that he comes over to me. I was taken aback. A balabas says he saw a young man from a yeshiva, I won't mention which yeshiva, with his hand draped around a young woman. I said, why are you telling this to me? He said, are you the Rosh Yeshiva of Torah Shraga? I didn't know where to hide. What does that young man think? He said to me. I said, he probably holds like the Shach, and that's not called the Shem Chiba. He said to me, he must be a very big lama. It's quite embarrassing. That notion of Kedusha is respect for a boundary line. And a young woman, there's a boundary line that I cannot cross. That's part of Kedusha. If I don't have that sense of self-discipline, I have not trained myself, then I'm lacking. I have not yet reached the level of Mishkan, of Har Sinai. And this, I believe, is the Yesod of the Ramban. It was very fascinating. The Greeks and others, actually, they deified the human body. The nude human body to the Greeks was, shall we say, aesthetically, something of great interest and the like. That's not our concept. We believe in Kedusha, and Kedusha means sneers, it means modesty, and that's why the most sanctified chedes that we have is what? The Sefer Torah. The Sefer Torah is covered with a mantle. The mantle is placed into an Aron Kodesh. The Aron Kodesh is covered with a paroches. It's kisui b'tok kisui b'tok kisui b'tok kisui. One cover after the next. Now, again, I'm not talking about Taliban. I'm talking about real tznius and real modesty to protect the integrity of the Sefer Torah. And so too, that's what Kedusha is all about. Kedusha means respect for a boundary line, whether it's another young woman, whether it's a food item that's not kosher, there are boundary lines. And to the extent that I'm able to develop my sense of Kedusha and sensitivity to that extent, I will succeed in building a Mishkan, v'asu l'migdash, for shachat b'sochan, as Chazal say, b'socho lo ne'mar, ela b'socham. What does it mean, b'socham? All of us, each one in our own way, should succeed in developing this sensitivity for Kedusha, for a boundary line. Some people, Baruch Hashem, are able to go way beyond others. Each one of us, lach-lach, in our own way, using Mitzvah Hashem, our own Seichel. And the more Torah we learn, the more Kedusha we acquire, the closer we come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Kedusha is defined not by angels with wings who have escaped the Earth's gravitational pull, who beat Newton at his game, but rather Kedusha defined by people here on this earth, basar v'dam, flesh and blood, with all kinds of sensualities and taivas and desires and what have you, controlling them, learning to have respect for a boundary line, and thereby developing Kedusha to the point where we can each one of us become a veritable Mishkan and a veritable Hasinah.